Good morning and welcome. It's hard for a dad not to go back 30 and so years and remember a young boy leading singing. Thank you, son. Where would you be without hope? I'm looking at a group of people by and large that I know have hope and have not only just hope, but a foundation for hope. And that's important. It's so important in this life, isn't it? It's one thing to put one foot in front of another and get through. But the older you get, the more it dawns on you that it has to be about something. Doesn't it? It has to have some meaning that's beyond what is going on one step at a time. And I think that's kind of where hope comes in. And we grasp for that. We want to talk about it a little bit today. In John 10, at verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." I like that. I am convinced that because I am in Christ Jesus, I have one of the best lives anybody can have. I'm among all men most richly blessed. I believe that. I work off that premise every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This abundant life, though, I think the essence of it has got to be somewhere in the hope zone that we have. That we have hope. Now, let's start by distinguishing between what I might call wishful thinking and hope. There's a difference. Okay, we can think about something that we want forever. My sweet mom, she wanted to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes in a bad way. Countless hours invested filling that stuff out, mailing it in. She kind of wanted it, you know. Never did she ever expect to get it. Never. And so there's a difference between hope, because hope does have expectation. When you and I hope, especially, and I'm not just talking about stuff in life. Actually, the hope this morning is the hope that is attached to God through the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. There's the hope that matters. There's the hope that we'd better have when we leave here this morning. Okay? And so we hope with expectation. We expect because God promised. And God has never reneged on a promise. And so I like that idea. It's more than just wishful thinking. Quite frankly, you and I didn't have the capacity to figure out what heaven should be. That's God's idea. And isn't it wonderful? And isn't it sensible that as you and I are a part of Him and He allows that to happen by the gift of His Son, we just remembered it here, as He allows that to happen, that as we live the way we know He wants us to live, or at least we try, we keep repenting, I understand that, but we keep trying, we keep being willing, and as that process occurs, He has given us by promise an expectation of reward, i.e., hope that in the end we will be with Him. That's fantastic as far as I can see. That's good news. That's gospel. And so we're talking about that this morning. The hope then has an eternal dimension to it. It isn't, you know, we hope for a lot of things. I hope I can survive long enough when I retire to not starve to death. You know, That's a hope. But that has nothing to do with the hope, right? That's just something along the way. So it's eternal. It comes from God. We cannot separate the eternal nature from it. In Galatians 5 at verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Surely it's by faith. Everything we do is by faith. "And we wait," it says, "for the hope of righteousness by faith." The old preacher used to say that hope equals information plus belief / obedience plus expectation. I think I can prove that in the Bible. I think it's nice. I think it's interesting. Hope has to have some information behind it. As does faith, incidentally. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's Word sits under all of this. And so hope has information in it, but the information can't just lay there. This is good. But if it just lays around the house, it doesn't get here or here. And it needs to be, God says, written on their hearts. Isn't that true? We need to get it from here to here so that it becomes who we are. So the information is important. The submission, the acceptance, the obedience, the yes, I will, that comes then from God's Word that is in me is a part of that too. And when I respond to that in Christ Jesus, then I have, because of His promise, the expectation that indeed is hope eternal. So we don't want to manufacture hope. That's possible, isn't it? We can do that. We do it all the time. When it comes to this hope, we'd better know. And God lets us know. So where does the information come from? Some scriptures, a couple of them that are important. 1 Peter 3 at verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." Sanctify. Set Him apart. Okay? Put Him in His right place. "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." There ought to be a reason for the hope that lies within me and you. And we ought to be ready, the text says, to give an answer, to talk that story up so that someone else can take the same information and begin to embed it in their hearts. We call that evangelism. Later on, I'm going to call it sharing. Isn't that what happens? I see it. I believe it. I know it. I need to share it. It's like a good book. And it is a good book. It is the best book. And so we ought to want to share that. That's a little bit later. In Romans chapter 5, I'm starting at verse 1 going through 6. I want you to see here the depth of hope. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the reconciliation process getting us to God. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." It is indeed grace, and we do stand in it. It's an access issue. I don't have time, but I can't go past the veil. Michael mentioned it. The veil was there in the Old Testament. The veil was prohibitive. It kept people from getting into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of a holy God. But in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20, that area, you see that the veil becomes Christ Jesus, His flesh. He becomes the way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And so this access idea is a marvelous New Testament theme. We have access to God through Christ Jesus. Praise God. It goes on to say, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Together, hope and rejoicing ought to go together. When we are together, the hope that we have individually ought to bring about a rejoicing of the hope in God. That's where we intend to be. Again, read the Revelation letter. You'll see a lot of that there. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also. We have those in life. Knowing that tribulation, watch the progression, works patience. Patience, experience, the living of life, and experience hope. Isn't that interesting? It starts with trouble, and it works its way to hope. I like that. I like that because I know something about trouble, and so do you. But we get from difficulties to the rejoicing of hope by the process of life if we are willing to live it the way God wants us to in accordance with His Word. So experience hope. Verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Write it all down. Read it. Listen to it. Absorb that. Take it in. And so we just sang a song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it, isn't it? That's where we get hope. Because God gave Jesus. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son, and that produces the culmination of relationship possibility with God. And that produces hope. And in that beautiful, awesome package, in the middle of that, it is nothing less than bliss, if we truly believe it. There's confidence there. It comes from the God of heaven. Let's talk for a second then about our basis for hope. Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This hope thing was there from the beginning, and it's in Christ Jesus. God loves us. You can write that down. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God. There's the basis for the information that we plug into the whole process. In Psalm 16, 8 and 9, I have set the Lord continually before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I like that. In Psalm 137, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there's plenteous redemption. Jeremiah 17:13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake You will be ashamed, and they that depart from Me will be written in the earth, because they've forsaken the Lord. He's called the fountain of the living waters. In the book of Acts, several times Paul was kind of brought to trial. And when he was there, here's Agrippa. He says in 26 of Acts 6 and 7, I now stand, I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. This is Israel. This is the chosen. God made a promise. Paul says it's because of that promise, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. It's because of that I'm standing here being judged. In Acts 28, verse 20, for this cause, therefore, I've called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound in this chain. The hope of Israel is Messiah, the Christ. Ephesians 2, 12 through 13. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, the Gentile side, having no hope and without God in the world. Tough situation. We're talking you and me by and large. But now, it says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There's that hope. Titus 3:7, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The heir idea is there. And the hope of eternal life is the string that follows it there. I know I'm moving rapidly on passages. You've got them in your bulletin there. Go home and read some of these. These are powerful passages if you can get them into your mind. I'd encourage you to do that. Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. So that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, write that down, we who have taken refuge should have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. I like that. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We again sang that song. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I mentioned Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. Go over there and connect those. Hebrews 7, 19. The law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there's a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw nigh to God. 1 Peter 1:3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Born again to what? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. That sounds pretty permanent and pretty powerful. It says it's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Is that hope? You bet it is. You bet it is. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? We've got some time to go. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. I've mentioned hope information. Let's talk a little bit about hope and reason. I think our hope is a reasonable hope, isn't it? Makes sense to me. In fact, if this whole system were exactly the way God has designed it and told us about it and lacked eternity with Him, you and I as human beings might scratch our heads and wonder what it's all about. There are some who believe such. And so it is reasonable. It produces expectation. Romans 4:18, and hope against hope, he believed. We're talking Abraham here. That phraseology, in hope, he had hope, but it's against hope. You've got Abraham and Sarah who are both beyond childbearing. And God says, you're going to have a son. And there they sit. Thinking, wait a minute, how's this going to work? This is an impossibility with man. So it is indeed hope against hope. And yet God made it happen. They even thought maybe they needed to help God. Silly. But hope against hope. They believed. At least they stayed with that idea. And it worked. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Do we see that idea? We've heard about it in the word of truth, the gospel. Colossians 1:27, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so hope needs to be lived. We need to live it. We need to have it, but we need to live it. Hebrews 11 kind of captures the idea. That's those of faith, if you remember. I'm in 13 and a few verses there. It says, these died in faith without receiving the promises. But they did live and they did die and they did stay in faith. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, we're getting a description of how they lived. Okay? They did not get what was promised, but they lived in this way. They embraced something over there. They believed it so sincerely that they lived it on this earth. Verse 16 goes on to say, they desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. They weren't worried about here and now and the physical. They looked to the heavenly. It says then, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hope. In Lamentations 3:21-26, this I will recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed shall never cease. Some of you will begin to start singing a song as I read through this. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. That's behavioral. That's here on this earth. To the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. There's the hope idea. Psalms 130 at verse 5. I wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Probably need to do a lesson on wait. But we wait. That's a process of living there. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. I'm skipping a few things here. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Does it sound like we ought to think about this? We really ought to. Spurgeon, commenting on the death for the Christian, observed that it's wonderful to have the tenement, the body, gradually taken down and yet not to feel any trouble about it. Those of us who are older kind of begin to understand that a little bit. But to know that you are in the great Father's hands and that you shall wake up where old age and infirmities will have passed away. That'll happen someday. And where in everlasting youth you shall behold the face of him you love. The expositor Adam Clark, probably 150 years ago, 84 years old, said, I have passed through the springtime of my life. I have withstood the heat of its summer. I've culled the fruits of fall. I am even now in the enduring rigors of its winter. But in no great distance, I see the approach of a new eternal springtime. Hallelujah. We need to share our hope. Just quickly, all I'm going to say here is that we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. That's important. It really is. We conclude. Some of us have finished the study of the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. Thank you, Michael. One of the things that I think I've brought out of that is embedded in this sermon. Our study has given me, or renewed, mental images and reminders that have enhanced hope in me. I can say that. Been there, done that. But it has been great to remind me of this connection. Revelation will do that for you. No wonder Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy." There's a blessing there. I think we're talking a little bit about some of it. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." I read a Hallmark card one time, and I, you know me, if I read it in a store, I'll write it down, take it home, put it in a file. Well, here it is. Hallmark card, "Sometimes we have to let go of the past in order to enjoy the present and be able to dream of the future." Now, sometimes hope, in order to really be hope, needs to let go of some things in our past. And all of us, I think, understand that. That's the story of the Bible. That it is possible to let go of a lot of things, or anything, really, in our way, in our past. Jesus frees us from our sinful past in order to live unto Him. Hope is there. I ran across an illustration. I'm going to throw this one in. It really has some good application, I think, to us. Maybe even in our sharing of hope. One night at a dinner, a man who'd spent many summers in Maine fascinated his companions by telling of his experience in a little town named Flagstaff. The town was to be flooded as the part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were obviously stopped. Can you picture this situation? You live in Flagstaff. In a couple of months, they're going to embed or just roll water over the top of it. And so everything stops. And here you live in it, though. What's the use of painting a house if it's going to be covered in water in 6 months? Why repair something? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woebegone. And he added, "Where there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present." It's a good place to end. I'll let you think about that for a while. We need to have hope, or there's no power where we stand. I believe that with all my heart. When I get up in the morning, I am so pleased that I have a God to pray to. I am so pleased that I can say to God, "Please forgive me," and know that He's going to. I can say to God, "I don't know what's going to happen today, but you and I can take care of it. I'm convinced of that. We'll get through with this. And if we don't, looking forward to being with you." I don't know that I can handle getting up in the morning and not having those anchors as a part of who I am. Wouldn't want to. I like getting up in the morning and saying, "Thank you, God, for being alive." At my age, the older you get, the more you get tired and diseases start racking your body and this, that, and whatever. The more you get to the point where you think, that'd be good. No tears, no pain, no. Yes. Yes, with a promise. Yes, with an expectation and the reality that it is going to happen. I hope you live that way. I hope when you get up in the morning, you'll think of that. I've got another day and I can live it with my God. Praise God for that. He's provided all that we need. And the culmination of all of that is the death and the burial and the resurrection of His Son, is it not? Which produces the great victory that you and I claim and hope for. If you're listening to me and you don't have that, would you change that right now? You can, when we sing this song, you can come forward. If you believe in Christ Jesus, if you know who He is and you know what He's done, would you do that? You can confess His name before this wonderful audience. Repenting of your sins, you can be buried in a watery grave of baptism. You're contacting the blood of Jesus. Romans 6 says you are planted together in the likeness of His death, that you may also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You can do that this morning and leave here with this hope that comes from here and through here, through Jesus. We'd like to assist you with that. We can talk about that if you say, no, wait a minute, I'm not sure I grabbed all of that. Let's talk about it. You may be in this audience and you need prayers, and we're a family and we pray with and for one another. That's important to us too. If you have any needs, please come as together we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to
faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright.